You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we start with how the markets have been performing throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by founder at Herenia Capital, Pietri Riedlingace, to take a look at some of the movements throughout the day. Good evening, Marmalade. How are you?
I'm very well, and you, Jimmy?
Good, thanks. Markets seem to have had a good day today. Let's start with international markets, I suppose, and equity markets, with the US markets slightly flat at the moment, but Asian markets almost all finishing in the green, and South African markets following suit with resources leading the charge on our side. What stood out for you today?
Yeah, so it's been, I think the big names here today that kind of stood out is really coming from the commodities complex, right? The gold stock's doing really well. Oil stocks doing really well. The Rand actually strengthening a bit as well. Obviously, the Sasol news was pretty big as well, with they're winning their sulfur dioxide emissions appeal. So that stock rallied really, really hard on the day as well. Other than that, I suppose the gold stocks, it's actually interesting to see that closer to the end of the day, we did see a bit of a reversal. Gold ticked slightly lower. Anglo Gold also entered the day in the red. But for the most part, they traded up really, really strongly. So I think it's just a story of commodities, right? I think one of those, what we have been seeing really is just a little bit of uncertainty around what inflation is going to be doing. We've seen a rising in tensions in the Middle East over the weekend. And this is all kind of playing into this flight to safety, if you will. And that's, also pushing slightly, energy prices slightly higher. And that's playing out in our market. So we had a really strong day for essentially the commodities facing stocks. I guess it was broad-based by the end of the day. It was actually quite broad-based. We saw Woolies trading higher. We saw Spar trading higher. We saw the banks trading higher. Standard Bank and Absa both, up on the day as well. So, most of the power really concentrated in the commodity stocks, but a broad-based, positivity coming in, I guess, as we see the Rand also about 0.25% stronger. So I guess all eyes on the Fed later this week. We know at least our view is that the South African market is very undervalued compared to international counterparts at this stage. So it's nice to see that our market, feeling a bit of love while the US is still currently trading in the red.
It's always nice to see a bit of love. I couldn't agree with you more on that, especially on the Brent crude price. You mentioned that Middle Eastern tensions are or have been unfolding, and I noted something from Iran coming out with a statement saying that if Israel attacks Rafah, then they're going to retaliate and attack Israel. And I suppose that was enough to send the oil price a little lower. We're not going to complain because hopefully we don't see another petrol price increase. But let's stick with the gold side of it for the moment, Pietri. We are at all-time highs. We've been at all-time highs since we broke above $2,000 effectively, and we've gone to $2,100, $2,200. Now we're above $2,300. Where do we see this sort of slowing down at? Because at this point, as you said, there's a lot that's still up in the air. We still have US CPI this week. We've got Chinese CPI this week. US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has threatened China. So this is all boding very terribly for risk sentiment.
Yeah, look, I don't think China is really going to care about the Janet Yellen's threats, to be very honest with you. I watched an interview over the weekend. I'm not 100% sure when it was recorded, but sort of between a British journalist and a Chinese dignitary. And, they said, well, look, Great Britain, how are the people of Britain supposed to see China as an adversary or as a competitor? And the Chinese delegate basically said, look, Britain is irrelevant to us. What do we compete against? We are the world's biggest car producer. We are the world's biggest EV producer. We are the world's factory. We see Britain as someone who's important to get along with, but as a competitor, no.
I remember that. That conversation. China not afraid to telling you that, yeah.
China not going to, listen to Yellen's threats. So they're going to sanction the Chinese. I don't think the Chinese are going to care. So yeah, it's an interesting situation. I think that also what is interesting is BRICS nations, particularly China, are buying gold in, droves. The biggest gold buyers in this for the last, couple of years really has been China. So I think that there's essentially a move to do this BRICS currency that's kind of gold backed. And that's part of the reason that there's so much gold demand for gold. Where does gold stop, though? I do think that it has run very, very hard. I mean, essentially, since it broke out of a little flaggish formation, which was at the end of February to now, I just quickly want to measure this thing too, so I give you accurate numbers. It's rallied about 13 or 14 to 50, yeah, call it 15%, right? I think that in the very short term, as in over the next few days, it seems as though the momentum has run out a little bit and we might see a bit of a correction, maybe $100 to $120 lower. I think in the medium term, we probably see gold trading to around $2,500 a fine an ounce. But I don't think that happens, in the next week. I think from here it does make sense for a little, for gold to put in a bit of a breather. In fact, so much so that we were, we let go of about a third of our gold holdings and gold stocks and, ETFs and stuff that we had in managed client portfolios because we think that that's run a little too far. If there's a bit of weakness in the coming weeks, then we'll buy into that again. But for now, probably we start seeing some relief in the gold price over the next couple of days. I guess it also depends on what the CPI data does on Wednesday. I don't think that inflation is going to come down. I think it's going to be surprisingly persistent. However, I do think that, the market, as we know, is a very emotional animal and can sometimes push to far extremes. And I think that, seeing gold rally sort of 15% in about a month and a half is maybe a bit far. I do think it keeps going higher, but I think in the short term, it probably pulls back just a little bit, maybe 5 or 10%.
We'll keep an eye on that. I like that you brought up the BRICS currency thing because last week I remember tweeting on or posting on X rather that Russia had announced as well from their perspective that they would be doubling the amount of gold and foreign currency reserves that they'd be purchasing in the month of April. And that was obviously in an effort to strengthen their gold position, but it also might make them the third largest holder of gold reserves by the end of the year, ahead of I think it was Italy and France, but behind Germany and the US. We'll definitely keep an eye on that. Pietri, let's look at some of the movements throughout the day before I let you go. Sasol having a really good day. Implats having a really good day. As you said, a lot of the mining companies having strong showings today. Do we expect that the momentum will continue, or is it now going to be largely price dependent on commodities pricing? We've already touched on the fact that markets have been under pressure in South Africa and oversold in South Africa. Do we think that this is the start of the rebound and we've sort of bottomed out on a lot of them?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a long answer. I think with Impala, for example, it's closed above the 200-day moving average today for the first time in a very long time. So hopefully this is a bit of a turnaround and a bit of a bottom. I think what's interesting here is that, everybody trans, all everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean car manufacturers. Everybody got very excited about EVs, EVs, EVs. Everybody wants electronic vehicles. And then suddenly we start seeing, one car manufacturer after the next slowly start to say, well, we're going to produce less EVs and maybe focus a bit more on hybrids. The EVs aren't really selling all that well and they're expensive to manufacture and expensive to run. The infrastructure isn't quite there. And, it actually increases demand, electricity demand enormously, and it's, electricity supply can't really keep up. So we're going to go the hybrid route now. And what does that do? That means more internal combustion engines being built. That means more demand for catalytic converters, which means demand for platinum is back.
Yes.
So that's kind of what I think could be a potential driver behind a bit of a bounce in the platinum stocks, kind of front running that demand surge for platinum and hopefully a bit of a price recovery for platinum. So I think that could be a potential driver there. So we're kind of watching the platinum stocks for a bottom here. Obviously, we're not exactly at the very bottom. Impala was trading below 60 rand at one point. It's now 93, almost 94. So it's already up, 50% from the lows. I'm going to quote Simon Brown. a good time to buy stocks that are bottoming and, you know, changing the trend at the bottom of the page or in the bottom right corner is once they've doubled, right? Once they've doubled, there's obviously still quite a bit more upside to be had. I mean, it sounds enormous. It's doubled from 60 to 120. But if you look in just sort of October-ish or sort of December 2022, it was 220, right? So buying at 120 bucks is still, in that context, there's still quite a lot of upside to be had. So I think that it's interesting to watch the platinum stocks here. I think there might be an opportunity to catch the bottom of the trend, or at least the changing of the trend. So trend followers essentially here takes that crossover above the 200-day moving average as a buy signal, right? Sasol, there's, you know, I guess not as a long story here, but what has essentially been happening is Sasol has been underperforming the oil price and the price of chemicals massively over the last while. And I think a large part of that was due to all the uncertainty around the Secunda plant. Are they going to have to, you know, they said if they don't get concession on the sulfur dioxide emissions, they're going to have to shut down the plant. And that's obviously a big chunk of their earnings. It's also for our economy, a lot of jobs. And then they, you know, essentially they have to reduce sulfur dioxide emissions. What they wanted to do was, instead of reducing the concentration of the sulfur dioxide emissions from, you know, all the boilers they had, they said, look, we'll shut down some of the boilers to bring the total emissions down to target, instead of reducing the concentration of the sulfur dioxide in each of the boilers and running all of them and reaching the target that way. We'll just have a different method of doing it. They were told they couldn't do that. And they said, well, if we can't do that, we might have to shut down the plant. There was obviously a legal appeal process, and they've managed to win that appeal. So at least for the next 5 years, we know that they can go ahead and, you know, they'll shut down, I think, two of the boilers and meet the emissions target and continue business and still be able to generate, you know, enormous amounts of revenue from that plant while meeting the environmental sort of emissions requirements. So what I think has happened here is that a lot of fund managers and sort of investors have avoided Sasol because we haven't known what the future holds for the Secunda plant. Now we do know that the future for the Secunda plant, at least in the, you know, medium term, is secure. And I think that this makes Sasol a very cheap, you know, little gem again. I mean, just a few weeks ago, Sasol was trading quite a bit lower than it is now, at about 140 rand. And I mean, at that point, the PE ratio, price to earnings ratio, was like 3. So, I mean, that's really, it's not as cheap as it was during the pandemic at 25 rand, but it's still a PE of 3, which makes Sasol extremely, extremely cheap. And now with the good news today, we saw it rally up to close about 165, just above. So I think that there's still quite a bit more upside to be had here. The way we look at it, we think it's worth about 200 bucks. At the very least. So I think there's quite a bit of upside to be had here as well.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see how that unfolds. Thanks so much for those insights, as always, Pietri Redlinges, who is founder of Herenia Capital, joining me to reflect on the market movements throughout today.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.